The sermon this morning reflects mostly on Romans 12, verses 19, 20, and 21, but we will see a very close parallel or teaching, a foundation of what Jesus teaches in our gospel reading. To start, and there's a link and a thought connecting all these things together in Psalm 26, verse 3, which was our psalm. That verse says, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Just a bit of a review from last week's sermon. Last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. And one of the things that we noted there, Paul said that as we have the Holy Spirit, we should discern what is the will of God. And we should walk in that. And there's a few other things he said in those verses that we thought about last week. But then I noted last week from then on, chapter 12, verse 3 of Romans, all the way to chapter 15, verse 23, is all about the Christian life. So he gives so much teaching about justification and also some about sanctification in the first part of Romans. And then is, therefore, this is how we are as Christians. How do we live our life of sanctification? It's very clear, we are daughters and sons of God by His grace, by His grace. And we don't earn or we don't decide to be Christians. He calls us, He makes us His children. It's a free gift. So once we're in God, and once we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then how do we live? Now all these verses from today's reading from Romans and other verses too, we could look at very specifically, but I decided for us to look at verses 19, 20, and 21. They're a little subset there in the reading from Romans 12. And also there's some foundational thought in connection to what Jesus taught in Matthew. It's very clear when Paul teaches Christians, us, that we are to love our enemy, that an enemy or that there's evil is not a pretend thing. It's not fake. There's really evil in this world. And there is really injustices. And there is really unrighteousness. There's really lies and so forth. And those will be punished. God is righteous. But the question is, for we Christians, who is going to punish and how? Because our sinful human nature and those who aren't Christians will say, I will punish you and this is how I'm going to punish you now, like this. And I'm going to get back at you like this. And I'm going to do this. And then see what you have to say. And we're tempted to think like that. Paul says in verse 19, never avenge yourselves. And that's a key point for us to think about. Never avenge yourselves. So never take it upon yourself to get back at a wrong that has been done against you. Well, what this does not mean is that evildoers, murderers, or thieves, or dangerous situations, you can't defend yourself or you shouldn't defend somebody else. No. We are supposed to protect our neighbor. We are supposed to protect our family and so forth. That is fine. Also, we know that evil is punished in various governments at various times, sometimes punished well, sometimes not punished so well. We know. But God's intention is for governments to have the sword, to punish and curb evil. That is not what Paul is talking about right here in verse 19. He says, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. And that's a temptation that often comes to us. The government won't get them. I'm going to get them. That person's just getting away with murder. I'm going to do this. Take it into your own hands. Paul says in verse 20, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Don't get back with evil and vengeance. Quote, unquote, get back with good. It's easy or easier if our neighbor's pretty nice to help out our neighbor. It's harder if our neighbor is nasty to still love our neighbor. That's harder. But that is the Christian teaching and calling. And in fact, he's quoting an Old Testament passage here from Proverbs, and I have it written there in the notes. This is Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's what the proverb says. Paul doesn't put that here. And the Lord will reward you. God is looking for his people, his sons and daughters, to be like him, to have mercy on the wicked and unjust. God is looking for his sons and daughters to not think that they are God, so I'm going to take vengeance in the way I want to do it and how I want to do it, but let God be God and let him take vengeance. And it may be through legal means, and it may be through, God can do a lot of different things, but don't take a vengeance for yourselves. As I was thinking about this, he says in verse 21, I got thinking about, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, right? We're following in the footsteps of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He did this. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What did Jesus do when he was nailed on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is the Savior that we have. This is who we are called to follow. And that is not the way of sinful human nature. It is not the way the world often thinks, that you actually forgive, that you actually take care of, that you actually bless or help those who are persecuting you, especially in the faith, but in other things too. But when we see what Jesus has done for the whole world, for us, while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still full of everything that we have done, he died for us and called us to be his. And so, as I have done for you, you also do for one another. In the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said in verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross, maybe a lot of you, we know this and think about it occasionally, but it's good for us to remember. The cross was not a beautiful ornament or necklace or something like that at Jesus' time. The cross was a hangman's noose. The cross was, in our parlance, the gas chamber. The cross was the place where the criminal dies. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that is something that's astounding. It's like, what do you mean, cross? That's where the murderers go. That's what the Romans do to the unlucky Jews and others. What do you mean, cross? But that's what he said. And so it's at that time, would seem to be a mystery to them, because of course they hadn't seen Jesus die on a cross yet for them. So what do you mean, Jesus? Take up my cross and follow you. Well, take up your cross. We die to ourselves. Paul talks about this much. And it's just going back to what we have said. God, you are in charge, and I'm following you. I'm not going to put my thoughts above your thoughts. Whatever you give me in this life, I walk along that way following Jesus. He has died for me, and what have you for me to do? For my friends, for my enemies. When Jesus came to earth, he was a merciful Savior. He was long-suffering. Think about it. He's a baby or just a little bit of a toddler, and King Herod wants to kill him. For what? Think of it. He's rejected by the very scholars and theologians that should have recognized him as being their Savior. But when they rejected him, and when they mocked him, and when they called him Satan, he did not just strike them with lightning, done. He could have. But his first coming is one of mercy and grace, one on which he would say in the cross, Father, forgive them. That's how he calls us to be, full of his grace and his mercy. He will come as a judge. All things will be punished if they have not been forgiven. And that is part of our witness and our testimony. Repent now. Believe now while you have his mercy. Because as he comes later, it will not be with mercy, it will be with justice. Because the justice and punishment is coming. But for now, there is a time to repent and believe. And Jesus calls us to bear his cross so that maybe some who hate him or hate us or whatever, enemies, might see somehow in us God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's grace, or at least see that we're not trying to be vengeful. We're not trying to get back. Finally, this verse from Psalm 26, verse 3. The psalmist said, for your steadfast love is before my eyes. Our continued focus in this life is Christ, his cross, how he calls me to follow him, his righteousness for me. It's constantly before our eyes. And this guides us. His steadfast love for us guides us into steadfast love for others. As he has loved us, we pray, help me to love others. The second part of that verse 3 says, and I walk in your faithfulness. Not, and I walk in my faithfulness, and I walk in my power. Not that. I walk in your faithfulness. We're called to bear our cross, to not take vengeance for ourselves, to live and help even our enemies. And we don't always walk like that. But we walk in God's faithfulness. If we walk just the way we want to walk, we're going to be walking in muck and mud and never on anything certain or sure. But as we follow in Christ and follow his footsteps, we walk following him, and he is certain. His way is certain. So even if I slip, even if I fall down, even if I say a mean word or just maybe a mean thought, and we know it was there, we can repent and say, but my salvation is not on this. It is on Christ, his faithfulness. Lord, help me also. Forgive me and help me be faithful again. The certainty is what he is for us. But we take up our cross and walk, loving our enemies. And yet when we fall, he's there. He helps us. He takes us again. We follow him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you sent your Son who showed your grace and favor to the whole world by dying for all people, though all people don't believe. We ask you to continue to strengthen our own faith in Christ and strengthen many others in Christ or come to faith. And also then, Heavenly Father, strengthen our love, both for friend and foe, and help us to follow Christ and in his way. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand and we sing the offertory printed in the bulletin.